Did you go to prom?
Twice, yeah. You knew I went to prom.
I know, but who did you go to prom with? I can't remember.
I went to...
Like, did you go with a group of friends, or did you, like, take
a
date?
My senior year, I went with a group of friends. I went with me and Austin.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and Jessica Braden, Mary Levesey, and Molly Waddell.
Okay, I kind of remember this.
Yeah, we drove Kristen's van. It was really fun. It was. We had a good time. I remember that.
That's really cool. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, should have fun time. I hated prom. And, it was like, I went, you know, I took dates. It was a terrible experience, you know, and it's just like high school. Like, my experience was high schoolers trying as hard as they can to be on a TV show. That was my experience. I hadn't thought about
that. That's funny.
Like, just like whatever would be like a TV show or a movie version of Teenage Life. It feels like on that night, the whole high school decides, like, we're doing this. We're doing the movie version of high school.
I have some, like, you know, snapshot images of high school that I remember, but prom's not really one of them. Mm. I don't have, like, memories in my head of, like,
right.
Oh, we ate here and we did this. I remember spending the night at Austin's afterwards, the two of us.
Oh, that's the way to do that.
But I couldn't tell you.
I think part of me would be terrified to spend the night at Andy Morgan's house.
Really?
Also, I would feel really safe. It's like a combination. Like, I wouldn't want to, you know, it's just like if somebody was going to attack somebody in Oak Ridge, I guess you would want to be at Andy Morgan's house.
Yeah.
But another part of me is just like, I just don't want to step a toe out of line. Not that he's like a strict guy, because he's not.
My first memory of Andrew Morgan, I think I was in third grade. I was over there. I used to go to Austin's house quite a bit in elementary school. And I was over there, and we were out in the yard playing something. And he got home from work, sat on his front deck, and put his legs up, crossed them over, smoking a pipe. And he said, he was like, "Thomas Cox, your mother just called. She's on her way to get you." And that's it. Like, that's it. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's back when you and Austin were both still Baptists.
Yeah, that's
right. He went
to
Calvary and you went to Central.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's amazing. Well, so, you know, it's like you and I have both been Young Life leaders for a million years. And we, you know, watch kids go to prom every year and take the pictures and the whole thing and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm at the point in my life where my child is like talking about going to prom.
Wow.
It's just weird, you know? Like, she was talking with her mother yesterday about like going dress shopping.
Wow.
For prom.
Wow.
I know. And it's like, is prom still just as lame as it was when I went to it?
Well, like, I remember the first time I went, we had it at some event center, which seemed kind of cool.
Okay.
But then my junior or my senior year, they started doing it at the high school. And it's like, there's like,
dude, that's like a movie.
Well, yeah. But there's like schools all around this area who are like, yeah, we're going to rent out Club LeConte in downtown Knoxville. We're going to go to the Foundry. We're going to go to like all these places. Yeah. And like, we're sitting there like, what the heck? Y'all hung some streamers from the ceiling in here. That is it. You know, I do remember that and thinking like, oh, that's kind of lame.
It's like the end of the year dance in Stranger Things season 2.
Yeah, but they're in like elementary school.
Aren't they in middle
sense.
School?
Yeah, but like that makes sense.
And it's in the 80s.
Right.
Although that was a great scene.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I missed the 80s.
Yeah, I miss. You weren't in the 80s.
I know, but I just missed the idea of being in the 80s. You know how fun that would be?
Well, for listeners who don't know, Thomas has exactly one Halloween costume, and he wears the exact same costume every year.
Yeah.
You want to break it down for the people?
Yeah, I'm always Marty McFly from Back to the Future. And it's because I don't have it anymore. I gave away my red vest, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Wow.
I just had this really puffy red vest. It was like, that's
puffy
easy.
Red vest, and then the white button down with the little blue pattern on it.
Yeah.
Jeans and some Nikes.
Yeah, with the jean jacket under the red vest.
Wow.
It's very, very hot. Very hot outfit.
Even at the end of October.
Yeah, it's like, this is a little warm. But, no, I mean, it'd been so cool to be like a a kid in the '80s. I'm sure you know.
I was there.
Yeah. I just like, you know, I'm just gonna ride my bike everywhere with like my
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Or whatever. I will say this, the fries were way better.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. They changed the fries the year before you were born. Mm. And they changed and like the stuffing and Oreos and everything. All of it's worse. Hmm. All of that stuff was way, way better. But I wonder if prom was better. Well, you did have like in the '80s you had like the dresses were huge and the hair was huge.
Yeah.
Fries were delicious and the Oreos were delicious. Wow. And you had like Boy George.
I don't know what that is.
That was a musician. It was a band.
Oh.
Do you really want to hurt me? You remember that song?
Never heard it.
Really want to. Did you ever watch The Wedding Singer?
Nope.
Okay, you got a new assignment.
Well, it's Adam Sandler.
I almost Tom-jubbed you.
Yeah, I haven't.
You've never seen The Wedding Singer?
If it's Adam Sandler, I will watch it.
It's fantastic.
He's the best actor of all time. The boat.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Bout.
Oh, if Thomas Wicklund were in this conversation, he would say you've put Adam Sandler one spot too high because that spot belongs to Keanu Reeves, who the internet has all agreed Keanu Reeves is the worst actor of all time.
Yeah, him or Nicolas Cage. Which isn't Keanu Reeves in John Wick?
He is John Wick, yes.
I don't know those, but they are very highly rated, so maybe he didn't do too bad in that.
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah.
I think Rotten Tomatoes, those are solid, like, 93s.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just everybody decided, like, yeah, we really enjoy this. It's not that it's good acting. This is just a good time.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some scriptures and what they meant to us and what we got out of them. How about if I roll first?
Sure. Where are you?
Luke chapter 4.
Wow, we're both in Luke.
Ah.
Oh.
Nice. The Gospel of Luke, written by, two of the Gospels are written by guys who were in the 12 disciples, and then two of them were written by guys that weren't. And this was written by a guy who actually wasn't even Jewish. He met the Lord later and
Gentile doctor.
Do what?
He's a Gentile doctor.
Gentile doctor. Traveled around with Paul and then, and after he met Jesus probably through the preaching of Paul and then traveled around with Paul. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and there's this really great part in the book of Acts. I think it's in chapter 16 where the pronouns they and he turned into we.
I think it's 16 and 28.
Yeah, like we set sail, you know, and then you're like, oh, this is where Luke met the Lord. Yeah. All of a sudden he's in the story and he's traveling with Paul. And Luke interviewed a ton of people that were eyewitnesses to everything that Jesus did. And he wrote Luke and Acts. And anyway, this is Luke chapter 4 is what we have is like, in Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus has like the temptation in the wilderness, where he gets tempted by Satan. And then he like begins his ministry after that. Like he gets baptized. Like he turns 30, he gets baptized, he has a tussle with Satan, and then bam, it's on. Then all the things, all the Jesus stories we know really begin right there in the Gospel of Luke. And one of the very first things that happens is, it says this in Luke chapter 4, verse 15, Jesus returned to Galilee, which is where he was from, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And so what this means is they recognize him as a rabbi, because they're giving him the microphone. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And so he unrolls the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61 and reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So we don't have the rest of his sermon, but like, this is his first sermon. His first sermon is, I'm going to tell you the gospel. Like, when we think about what the message of the gospel is, that's what, like he said, to proclaim good news. He's anointed me to proclaim good news. That's the gospel. That's what, like, if you were to look in the Greek language, that's what that is, the euangelion. And like, when I was brought up, I've been in a lot of conversations with Tom about this recently, and just listening to some different, like theologians and pastors, especially like African-American ones, and like about their perspective of what the good news of Jesus is. And when I was brought up, the good news of Jesus was straight up and down, black and white, is just like a personal thing where somebody accepts Jesus to be saved. That was the whole of the good news. Like, Jesus died for your sins. If you believe in him, you don't have to go to hell. You'll get to go to heaven and you get your sins forgiven and all that stuff. You start a relationship with God. That was the good news. And I was listening to this African-American theologian and pastor the other day, and he was saying, he was basically saying, like, is your good news big enough? And here's a more important question. Is your good news the good news Jesus preached? And then he like pointed out this place in Luke chapter 4, which I just happened to read the other day in my own like reading of scripture. And he's like, because Jesus's version of the good news includes like good news for the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. And like, yes, the Lord's favor is in there. Like, Jesus forgives you for your sins because he's coming to die for you. But like, a really good question is like, does my version of the good news, like, where's the freedom from oppression? Where's justice for people who are mistreated? Where's the part where the poor have some relief? And like, and it's been rocking my world. And at the exact same time, I've had a lot of joy and comfort in knowing that like the guys who really brought me up to walk with Jesus and to know him and to do ministry and stuff are guys who have cared about that stuff and done things about it the whole time I've known them. Like, you know this, but some of our listeners might not know that there's like one building in Oak Ridge where like the poorest people in Oak Ridge live. And it's like this kind of government subsidized housing apartment complex. And Potsy, who works with us here at the church, like he like just for years had a ministry where he would just go up and down the hallways of that place. He had a Bible study there, but he would just like serve poor people, just like go to the store for them, go to the pharmacy for them, take them to their appointments. Like, he was unbelievable, like for years and years and years. And like, Tom just like has had prison ministry for like 13 years, just like prisoners, caring about them, preaching to them, loving them, serving them. And he's brought us in that as well. And just like refugees and foreigners and, you know, and it's just like, I'm super thankful that the guys that brought me up have like a full and rounded version of the good news. And it's just been like, it's just been all over me that like, this is what believers in Jesus are supposed to be about. That the gospel is not just, I've been forgiven of my sins, but also like, now I've got something to do in the world that is about, it's about justice, you know, and it's about poor people. It's about loving people that need love. That was a long, sorry.
No, that was great. There's just like a lot of things. I mean, over the past year where I've seen a lot of Christians who've, you know, put their foot down and said like, you know, we don't need, like, forget this virus. We're going to have a, you know, a worship service of 10,000 people, right? Because we can.
Right.
And because we're Christians. And it's like, whew.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
That's not what this is about. Right. Like, that's not what it's about. And it's, I think it's easy for us to miss this. And like you're saying, overlook this because of how we grew up and where we grew up and
yeah.
who we grew up with. It's interesting. Like, I've been thinking a lot lately about just how, like, we in our culture where we live, we're just steeped in, you know, the Bible Belt. Everyone around us knows about this. Not necessarily, but like there's or like a lot.
Thinks they do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like we've all grown up hearing it. And then there's places in the world that no one's heard about this. No one's ever heard this message. And like this part in Luke 4, for me to read this 10 years ago, I probably would have just kept going and thought like, that's cool. And for someone else, this is the like most beautiful part of it, which is what I love about what you're saying is like, have I thought that hard about this? Is my message of the good news? Like, is it strong enough? Is it the right thing? And this is it, man. It's so cool. It's so encouraging. And it's, I hope if you're listening to this, you're thinking like, what am I doing about this? Mm. Where's my, okay, the poor, the prisoners, the blind, the oppressed, like, what am I doing about that? Right. Where's my hand in that?
That's
like,
right.
I have the message of the good news. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do with this? Cause it's important because Jesus talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
He talks about poor people and prisoners and oppressed people. The whole Bible does. It's all over the place. Yeah. You start at the beginning of this thing and you'll find that.
Yeah.
And it's time. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and go find some people who aren't exactly like you. Mm. You know, if you're sitting around a room and you look around and everyone is the exact same as you and they're dressed the exact same and they act the exact same and they talk the exact same and you do the exact same thing.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
Like it's time. It's time to find people who aren't like you.
That's it.
It's time to find people who are poor, who are prisoners, who are blind and who are oppressed.
Yeah.
And share the gospel with them. It's time because it's for them. It's for everybody. Right. And Jesus makes it clear. It is for them.
Right. Yeah. And you took the words right out of my mouth and just like, it just makes me want to look at my life and say, okay, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That is good news. Now, where is the part that I play in freedom for the oppressed and relief for the prisoners and all of those things? Just like, what's my role? How do I get involved in that work? You know? And, you know, I think it starts by getting to exactly what you're saying, getting to know people that are different than me and just like reaching out and how can I listen and how can I learn and how can I help? But also just like asking Jesus, like, hey, give me something awesome to do.
Right.
Give me a good fight to get into. I want to get in this. I want to do this, you know? And I think like, as we hopefully are getting, you know, hopefully about to break the tape at the end of kind of the coronavirus that for believers in Jesus, we would say the good news was for me, but the good news wasn't just for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of the good news in the world.
Right. That's cool. I'm going to flip ahead a little bit to, Luke chapter 22.
Oh, we're doing the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Jesus' earthly ministry.
Right. So here we are at the Last Supper. This is cool. We read this with high schoolers on Sunday night. And me and Anna Younger was the first person to point this out. And I was thinking it and she's beat me to it, but it was brilliant. I was like, this is so cool. I've never seen this before. And she was saying the same thing. I've never noticed that before. And it was awesome. So I was super encouraged by it. And, I just want to read this, but this is verse 31 of Luke chapter 22. This is Jesus speaking. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Mm. Never noticed before that Jesus, I don't remember, and there's probably a place and I just am not thinking of it, but I don't remember a place where after he changes his name to Peter,
yeah,
that he calls him Simon. He
goes back to calling him Simon.
Right. And there was just, you're reading this and you're like, why are you calling him Simon? And I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why he starts off by calling him Simon. But the thing I loved is that after, as he's explaining to Peter, hey, bud, this isn't going to go how you think it's going to go. He's calling him very deliberately. I mean, like, I don't know if he called him Simon sometimes. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't. Right. I don't remember another time when he does it. We only have
this text to look at.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't. And there's probably someone out there who's like, yeah, he says it here in John chapter whatever, and in Mark chapter whatever. I don't know. Probably, but I don't remember it. But when he's about to say, "Hey, buddy, you're about to screw up big time," he makes it very clear, and it's like a, it's almost like a little reminder of like, hey, don't forget, this is your name. This right here. I know I just called you Simon, but your name is Peter.
Mm.
You are the rock. Mm. You are the rock. You're about to screw up, but this is who you are, and this is what's true about you.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, that is so cool. It's so thoughtful. It's so, if that's what he's thinking, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't, who knows the mind of our God and who can bring counsel to him? But like in my mind, I'm like, that seems so, it seems so thought out the way that he spoke this. It seems so thought out, the choice of words, the choice of names, to go back and to call him Peter right then. It seems like, it seems so on purpose, you know? And I just had this moment of thinking about Jesus knowing that Peter's about to screw up, knowing that he's about to sin, and Peter not realizing it and not thinking it and not believing it about himself.
Yeah,
like Peter has the mindset of like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to screw up. Yeah. I'll do whatever for you. And then we all know however long later he, you know, like 8 hours later, he just like completely wets the bed, you know, like over and over again. And in fact, like, curses, you know, just like,
by the way, listeners, that's one of the best Thomas Cox phrases.
It's a baseball term. Yeah. Well, it's not a baseball term, but I just had baseball coaches who would, you know, you make an error and you wet the bed. That's what it was. You just wet the bed, man. That's probably very offensive to somebody. I'm really sorry.
That was amazing.
But I just, one, there's an idea in Peter's head that he wouldn't screw up. And like, I get it. If the King of Kings is your best friend, and he's saying that you're going to deny knowing him, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. What the heck, man? Like, I could see his defensiveness.
Right.
But there's also part of me that's like, you're expecting not to screw up, and that's just not a good stance to take in life.
Yeah.
You know? Especially with someone who knows everything and has behind you, before you, and all sides of you. It's like, yeah, hey, man, he knows this thing. But I can't get over the fact that Jesus completely turned to him. And it's like he put a little reminder in his head of like, hey, it's going to happen, but don't forget that this is who you are.
Mm.
I think it's so cool.
Well, I love that thought so much. We got a dog the day after Christmas, and we named her Yoshi, like the little dinosaur from Mario. And
I guess I always thought Yoshi was a turtle. That's my bad. Always.
Yeah. This is a dinosaur that eats turtles, sticks a tongue out and eats the little turtles so they don't hit Mario. But like, one thing that happened immediately in our house, as soon as we named her Yoshi, everybody started coming up with derivations and other little nicknames for that. Like, so you call her Yoda.
Yeah.
I call her Yo-Yo, like the toy. Yeah. And, Nora calls her Yo-Bear. And Jack and Christy call her Poshi.
Poshi. That's so funny.
And like, everybody has like totally different names for her. Mm-hmm. And I think Anna calls her Yo Girl and something like that. Anyway, like, and then we all use all those derivations. So I'll say Yo Bear and Yo Girl and, you know, and then sometimes Nora will say Poshi, but like we all have all these different names for her. I don't know if she ever gets called Yoshi, except when she's like, when she bolts. And then we're like calling her Yoshi, like we call her that name. But the rest of the time, it's these affectionate little nicknames. It's like, and it's all affection. And like, so like he says, hey, Simon, here's some bad news. But then when Peter's like, I never will do it. And then he's like, I'm about to lay a truth bomb on you and it's going to hurt, especially later when you do it. I want, when you remember this, I want you to remember that I used my affectionate little nickname for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's affection in this. There's affection in him returning to Peter.
Right.
And so I think that's really sweet. I like, you know, it's like if Yoshi runs away from us, like we're screaming, Yoshi, Yoshi. But if she comes back and then, and is close to us and we lean down, we're petting her, then it's all Yo Bear and Yo Girl and mm-hmm. Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
It's all that stuff. It's all affection and sweetness. And so
yeah.
I feel like when the rooster did crow and when Peter, it says that he remembered what the Lord said, what he would remember is that the Lord called him Peter, Rocky. Like, hey, Rocky, like, not only, I love what you're saying of like, hey, this is who you really are. You're my rock. But also like, hey, you're my guy. It's this affectionate name that I gave you. It's all affection and sweetness with us.
That's cool. I read this separately as Monday or Tuesday after we did that. I just like, I want to go back and read that on my own. And I just, sometimes I'll wonder, like, what is, and you've asked this before in our small group, but like, what is Jesus, what does he call me? What is that name going to be?
Yeah.
What is the, is it Revelation 2? Like, what's it, yeah. what's it going to be?
A new name on a white stone.
Yeah. And I just can't wait because I think it's going to be a thing that's like, I knew it the whole time.
Right.
It's going to make perfect sense and nothing's going to make me more grateful because
it's going to be kind.
Yeah. There's something about when people know your nickname or give you a nickname and they exclusively use it. Like someone at the gym the other day, this lady who I've grown up knowing my whole life. She's like an older woman who goes to my parents' church. I've known her forever.
Right.
She asked me, like, she calls me Hunter because she knows that I, like, 8-year old me would have been like, please call me that. I like it way more than Thomas. It's my middle name. I did not like my name.
Yeah.
And she'll do it and it's more messy and she's awesome. But she asked me, she was like, what do they call you? Like, what does your family call you? And I was like, my whole family calls me T. Everybody. No one calls me Thomas.
Right.
My mom doesn't. My dad doesn't. I never hear my dad use my name. My sisters, my nieces, my niece and my nephews.
Right.
Like, I'm Uncle T. And it's just like, it's sweet. It's affectionate.
Right.
I love it. I feel, it's just like a little thing that they have. They don't call me Thomas. You know, when I call my sister Abby, she says, hey, Thomas. She's like, hey, T. And I'm like, that's cool. No one at work calls me T. You know,
right. No, yeah.
My boss doesn't. No one there does. And I just can't. I get so excited when I think about whatever Jesus is going to call me. And it makes me really happy.
That's sweet.
Anywho.
I love that.
You call Dobby, Dobbert Downey Jr. Dobby's our dog. You always have a good one.
Yeah. I called her Dobby Parton the other day.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I called her Dob Dylan.
Yeah, Dob Dylan.
And
she does look like the elk. My dog doesn't look like a dog. If you looked at her, you'd be like, what are you?
One of Anna's friends asked if your dog was a dog or a kangaroo.
Yeah, she looks like a kangaroo.
And then one of her other friends said that your dog looks like Bolt, the Disney movie.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
She started doing that thing that Yoda does where she'll get off the couch and leave her hind legs up there.
Just
Dobby did it last night and it was Maddie. She did this thing the other day. Have you ever put like tape on the bottom of a cat's paw?
No.
There's someone with PETA listening to this. Probably not. That is like, you cannot do that. But when you do, it's hilarious. They just like shake their legs. It's really funny. But she did that the other day and like out of nowhere, she just like stuck her hind leg out and shook it really fast. And Maddie and I both saw it and laughed until we cried. But having a dog brings a lot of joy to your life.
It does. I mean, especially when because Dobbert De Niro is so sweet. She's such a sweet girl. You know, it's like, it's the opposite of like how awful it must feel for somebody that's like, somebody that pulls for a team that just like didn't even make it in the NCAA tournament and they always do.
Yeah.
You know, like if they always do, and this year they didn't even get invited.
They didn't even get close.
They just got, yeah. Having
Did they play sweet, in the NIT or the CIT or any of those? Probably didn't even have those this year.
Like,
probably didn't make it.
It would be tough.
I wonder if they would have won the Tennessee High School State Tournament.
That's a really good question.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I think when you lose the heart of the locker room, you know, you just,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what the talent is. But yeah, having a dog's the opposite of that. It's just so encouraging.
It's so weird because her and our stray cat are best friends. His name is Turkey.
There should be a Disney movie about
it. But I call him Turco. I call him Turkey Man. I call him
Turkey Man.
All these things. But like, the four of us, me, Maddie, the cat, and the dog will sit on the back deck and they just sit together.
That's amazing.
They play together. They'll like stare off the porch together. Dobby will like put her paw around him. It's so weird.
It's just Dobby Wood and Turk, man.
Dobby.
That's amazing.
Turco. Turkey Man.
Turkey Man.
Turk, Turk.
Well, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
Thanks for joining us. This has been Ancient and New.
Bye.
There's something that you want to be, something that you are insisting on. There's so much you won't let us see, something your front is depending on. Sooner or later, it's gonna come out. Don't you understand?